Welcome. You are listening to Living, Loving and Learning, the blog and podcast on SolomonArrow.com.
As you go through life, are you more concerned about what you are achieving than in what you are becoming? While both are important in their ways, it is, however, what you are becoming and not what you are achieving that gives meaning to your life. Hello there. My name is Solomon Arrow, and I'm delighted to have you listening in. Today, I'm speaking on the topic, What You Are Becoming, Taking Strides for Personal Improvement and a Successful Life. Early in 2009, I bought a copy of the 1-Year Bible, New Living Translation, which is set into 365 daily readings. I had not read the Bible cover to cover in over 10 years then. Why? Very busy. No time. Translated into the English language, it means poor time management. Using the 1-Year Bible was spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally refreshing. The language is simple and inspiring. Nevertheless, always keep in mind that the most important reason for reading the Bible is not to increase our knowledge. Rather, it is to get to know the Lord better, to improve our relationship with Him and to let Him affect our hearts and transform our lives so that we become more like Jesus Christ towards greater influence for Him in this world. I purchased that Bible motivated by something I had heard on a news program on cable TV about Judge W. Bush, the immediate past president of the United States at the time. It was a glimpse into his reading habit during his last 3 years in office. They reported that in the period, he had read the entire Bible 3 times over and over 130 other books, many of which were biographies. Did someone not say great leaders are readers? I reproved myself. Solomon, so you're busy. Busy doing what? You could not be busier than the US president, could you? Let me encourage you to start a personal improvement program, reading the Bible through. In finalizing this blog series, I would like to state that what we are essentially dealing with in these discussions is a successful life and not necessarily success in life. The difference is in what you are becoming as opposed to what you are achieving. Understanding this difference is vital for fulfillment in one's life. As you go through life, are you more concerned about what you are achieving than in what you are becoming? While both are important in their ways, it is, however, what you are becoming and not what you are achieving that gives meaning to your life. Our goal is that at the end of the day, you would be able to say, "My life is what God wants it to be. I am becoming what He intends for my life. I am fulfilled. I have accomplished the reason for which God brought me to this world. I have left a legacy that honors Him. My life has shown someone the way." Zig Ziglar puts it this way in one of his books: "You know you are on top when you stand in front of the Creator of the universe and He says to you, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.' The good things that you do must have their root in your being a good and faithful person. This is altruism." The report about Judge W. Bush, which I referred to, also said that he was thankful he did not sell his soul during his presidency. That testimony, I believe, speaks volumes about a commitment to a good conscience toward God and toward man. It reminds me of some words penned by John Bunyan in 1684. "He who would valiant be against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master. No foe shall stay his might, though he with giants fight. He will make good his right to be a pilgrim." As a pilgrim in this world, there are challenges and temptations, covert and overt, which test the soul and assail your resolve to become what God wants you to be. You must be resolute in upholding your convictions. Your allegiance is sworn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your soul is not for sale. Speaking of commitment, in continuation of essential elements for improvement in your life through improving your relationships, commitment pertains to loyalty, devotion, obligation, and dedication. It speaks of trustworthiness and faithfulness. Many of these life-guiding principles are becoming meaningless in the world today, but it must not be so to you. You are the light in a dark world. In marriage, commitment speaks of making good your right to be a spouse. It roots your vows. The covenant you cut with your spouse in getting into that selfless and sacrificial relationship which you made before witnesses, of which God was numero uno, the number one and most important witness. There is an old saying that when a man gets married, he becomes responsible. Soon after marriage, a certain woman's husband stopped wearing his wedding ring. She asked, "Why don't you wear your wedding band anymore?" He replied, "It cuts off my circulation." She retorted, "It's supposed to." Has your wedding band cut off your circulation? I hope so. Presently in the world, holy wood and many other woods are sensitizing the world to the mindset that cohabiting couples are happier than those who are married. It began surreptitiously, and then it became overt. Now it's brazen. Their message suggests, if you want to be happy, just live together. No commitment is necessary, because when people get married, they get unhappy. This is false. You cannot violate God's principles without consequences. You cannot be truly happy, living in violation of God's plan and purpose. There is fulfillment in following God. The vows you made on your wedding day were not mere words to add something romantic to the event. God takes marriage vows seriously. I beseech you to do the same. Often, go back to read and think about those vows. Reinforce your commitment from your heart and in practical ways. Allow God to be the third string in your marriage, and then it will be hard to break. A threefold cord is hard to break. Marriage is fun when lived within the ambit of God's laws of love. The Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made to each other on your wedding day when you were young, but you have been disloyal to her. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? We become disloyal to our spouse when through our thoughts, words, or actions, someone or something else becomes of greater importance or of higher priority than our spouse. When we become selfish instead of selfless, no matter how loyal one party might be to a relationship, disloyalty from the other could spell the beginning of the end. There is a persistent onslaught against the institutions of marriage and the family, which are the bedrock of society. In like manner, Christian marriage and family are the backbone of the church. Let us keep our hearts pure before God. If you are a true Christian, always be conscious of what you are becoming and how it is affecting your relationships. Do not let your heart and life depart from God's ways. If it has, it is not too late to return. Ask the Lord in prayer, "Dear Lord, please give me grace so that I do not allow myself through my thoughts, words or actions to become a harbinger to the termination of the fulfillment of your purpose for my life and also that for which you made my spouse and me one. Lord, help me so that I do not break her heart and yours. Amen." Thank you. Do not forget to keep living, loving, and learning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Solomon Arrow is an author, pastor, teacher, and speaker whose passion it is to help people become what God desires them to be and through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, fulfill His plan and purpose for their lives. You can contact Solomon through his website, www.solomonarrow.com.